Hi, and welcome to Zed Games. Recorded live at 4ZZZ Studios in Brisbane and broadcast nationally over the Community Radio Network, Zed Games brings you the latest gaming news, reviews, and interviews from across Australia and around the world.
Welcome, listeners, to another exciting episode of Zed Games, Australia's most beloved gaming radio program. We are coming to you live from 4ZZZ in Brisbane, but you might be listening to us around the nation on the Community Radio Network. I am Lee, and joining me for this episode once again is Razor.
Hey.
Ms. Candy Payne.
Hi.
And B Bravo.
Yo.
Razor, what is happening on this episode?
B, you've been playing Cuphead.
Yes.
The long-awaited game that's sort of reminiscent of Hanna-Barbera and Disney cartoons from the 50s?
30s.
Awful. 30s? That was an awful description.
Yeah. Hanna-Barbera. Jeez, dude.
Not even.
Yeah.
To be fair, the last time we saw a trailer was probably 3 years ago, so.
It's still, like, it's early Disney. It's like, I think it's called Silly Symphony. So it's reminiscent of early animation bouncing up and down, trying to figure out how animation even friggin' worked.
Steamboat Mickey, that kind of early.
Steamboat Willie,
like,
yes.
Willie,
silly.
Yeah.
All right, well, there's Mickey in it.
Yeah. Anyway.
Well, I hope you'll forgive me. I wasn't alive back then.
Really?
Yeah.
I was at your birthday party.
I'm really 80
I
years old.
I counted those candles.
As well as that, I've been playing the classic Super Nintendo Mini over the last weekend, since it was released last week, and enjoying it immensely. I'd love to tell you guys all about it later on in the show.
Great.
But before that, Weekend Gaming News headlines with Miss Candy Payne.
Sure. Sony has announced a new model of the PlayStation VR headset. The improvements to the virtual reality visor are relatively minor, including a jack for headphone integration and an update to the breakout box to greater facilitate high dynamic range content, or HDR. Over 1 million of the older style units have been sold since it was introduced late last year.
Are they even still making games for the PlayStation VR?
I haven't heard of any.
I haven't heard anything.
Yeah, not since, like, the ones that they launched with. I mean, I guess, you know, the
Batman. That's the only one I can name, I think.
Yeah, and that's great. That's fun. The games that they have are really good, but also, like, I mean, you know.
There is a tech demo-like quality to most VR games that I've encountered.
Yep.
There hasn't really been, like, a killer app, something that's like, this is so freaking amazing that it's going to change your mind on VR and you must own a VR headset after playing this. And there's not many companies that have, like, put in, like, millions and millions of dollars to create a very long and interactive experience.
Yeah, you know? I mean, I guess the thing is that if anyone was in that position, it was Sony. You know, we were playing around with the PlayStation VR just before it launched, and it really did seem like it was the tech solution that was going to work. It was affordable enough, and they had this potential to put them in people's homes and get people playing games. And then they put it out and stopped getting people to make games for it. And now it's been long enough that I just, like, who is going to be like, now it's finally time for me to get into VR because of the new headset? It was the lack of headphone jack that was stopping me from dropping the coin.
Or greater HDR. Nintendo has made a decision to bar live-streamed gameplay from its creators program. Historically, the company has had a poor relationship with YouTube and Twitch personalities, with the company claiming all ad revenue and being liberally issuing copyright claim before the formation of the Nintendo Creator Program in 2015.
So this was a program that was set up to allow, like, YouTubers and Let's Players and what have you to be able to, like, make stuff and have Nintendo then. So what did they, endorse it? Do they pay for it? What's the deal?
I think they endorsed it.
Yeah.
Or, like, they wouldn't take it down. And I feel like they took some of the money.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Prior to that, it was kind of, if you put up a Nintendo-related gameplay video, there was, like, you know, a 80% chance it might get taken down.
Mm-hmm.
But now, certain creators that are approved and cherry-picked by Nintendo are allowed to, you know, get the green light to put up Nintendo content, as well as that they can earn up to 70% of the revenue, not 100%.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So now, though, I mean, as we were discussing before the show, like, people who are Let's Players often will now be kind of padding their content with streams of additional gameplay just so that they can have that 100% capturing of their audience. And they're not allowed to do that now with Nintendo stuff. I guess because it's something that Nintendo can't really control in the same way that they can with YouTube content.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Like the live stream is going out live. There are thousands of people watching at that moment. Anything can happen.
Right. You could racist say a bunch of swears about Mario.
Yeah.
Yeah. You went straight for race. I went for something a little cleaner.
Yeah.
What does that say about you, buddy?
A lot.
Yeah.
I've been on the internet too long. It's a dark and disturbing place.
An announcement has been made for a C64 Mini, a miniature replica of the Commodore 64 home computer. Coming after the success of Nintendo's classic NES and Super Nintendo Minis, the C64 will be a fully functioning half-size replica that comes with 64 games built in. No release date has been given, but the unit is expected to cost around $70 US.
Does anyone in here actually have any, like, Commodore 64-related memories?
No.
I have one.
Fire away.
I was very young.
Yes.
And it's barely a memory. In fact, I think it might be just a fabrication. You know? One of those kind of those memories that you think you had when someone tells you a story.
Right.
Yes.
But I was at like some dude's house, and I remember having a great old time playing this game that I can't remember the name of, but you were
this anecdote is terrible already.
Burrowing around, collecting gems.
What, like Dig Dug?
Dig Dug. I think it was Dig Dug. And also the Parachute Man, shooting the parachute guys. What's that one called?
I have absolutely no idea. They were
games by today's standards, clearly. But I was like amazed. Yep. It's the first time I ever encountered a video game.
Right.
I feel like this is the same thing as the Atari box that we were talking about last time, is that it might be like slightly too old that most people, like the game has been remade enough that you can play a version of it in like an HD format, or like not enough people care. Where like Nintendo, like it's still that like right age demographic where yes, you do literally have it at home, you can plug it in, or like you could like play it if your TV was good enough. Like there's a bit, I don't know, there's a bit of a disconnect.
Yeah I mean the heyday of the Commodore 64 is a good 30-ish years ago now. So it's like a weird market that they're aiming for. Does it come with like a beard trimmer as well?
comfy shoes.
Yeah,
really it should be noted that unlike the Nintendo ones that have been put out recently, this is an actually fully functioning replica. So you could program games on this thing if you wanted to.
Right,
that's kind of cute.
Yeah, so it's not like the Nintendo one that has built-in games and you can't add to that collection. This is like, for all intents and purposes, a Commodore 64.
Right,
which is kind of cool.
I guess it's a really nice cheap. Like coding tool, because a lot of places are now having like little mini kits that you can put together with like a Raspberry Pi, but they're still like in the couple hundred dollar range. So this is a cheaper solution to learning how to code,
I guess. Yeah. But you're also like using like really old languages and having to like you are Neuromancer hacking the system here rather than say
maybe one day
around with Unity
when the apocalypse happens, those people coding the mini Commodore will be able to bring back the computer age, because they'll know
that it's true. All right, you've got me there.
They'll know from the beginning.
I mean, it's too bad there won't be any electricity, but
you have to build back up to it. It's fine, don't worry about it. We'll talk about it later.
So we've got to get the blacksmiths on board first.
Are hipster programmers a thing?
Yes.
Like, if you've got, fishing pants and you've got your mini Commodore 64 and you're programming in some ancient language, you're like, I'm pretty cool.
Fishing pants.
I don't know. What? You know those pants that the kids are wearing?
What? I don't know that is today's description of a hipster, but...
Yeah, I'm
good
with it.
Try, I'm with Razor. Sure. Good try.
Like, if fishing pants aren't a thing, they are now. Like,
they're definitely not a thing.
That's it for the weekend gaming news headlines. Thanks, Candy.
You are listening to Zed Games, and that was Born on the Bayou from the Mafia 3 soundtrack.
So good.
Great song, great soundtrack, great game. Ray, you have recently acquired a new precious, precious toy.
Yes.
A child, perhaps.
A child.
Of your
own. A child's toy.
Yeah, a child's toy.
There you go.
You have the mini Super Nintendo, mini SNES, the mini SNES.
That's right, just came out last week. It's a tiny, tiny 1/6 replica of the Super Nintendo originally released in 1991. And it's a great, amazing, precious gift from Nintendo to the world. It really is amazing.
I saw it last night. I was worried that if I had like accidentally inhaled at the wrong time, it would have ended up in my mouth. It's so small.
It really is. It's cute.
Yeah.
It's really cute. Yeah. Like, it looks exactly like you remember it, but it's small.
It's a choking hazard.
Yeah.
We should move on to what is the deal? What is it?
So it's basically just a throwback to what could be Nintendo's greatest console.
Right.
Maybe. You know, it's up there. Mm. The Super Nintendo, along with 21 classic games, mm-hmm. including some of my dear favorites.
Like Super Punch-Out?
No.
Contra 3?
No, I hate those games.
Oh. Yeah.
So of the 21...
But also including those.
Of the 21, about half of them are good, let's be honest. But those, like, 10 or 11 games are just so freaking amazing that it's totally worth the price of admission.
So what is on there that you think is good?
Yeah, I want to judge you.
Super Mario World, for one.
Yeah.
Okay, that's good.
That's incredible. I remember the first time I played that game. Mm-hmm. Me and my next-door neighbor had a Nintendo Entertainment System, and he had an Atari 2600. We'd go back and forth.
Good console.
And play the games in the early 90s, but... His dad lived in like northern New South Wales, and I remember that trip very vividly because it was around the time that Billy Ray Cyrus song "Achy Breaky Heart" was big.
Jesus, you are losing me with this anecdote.
Wow. And so, like,
this is very old.
Get to the
point. There's like a couple of things that I remembered very distinctly about that weekend. Firstly, "Achy
Your
Breaky Heart"
Billy
by Billy Ray Cyrus. This my friend's dad being a biker who was pretty much like the rural New South Wales version of King Robert Baratheon from Game of Thrones. And he tried to get me on a motorbike.
He brought it back to the kids. It's fine.
Yeah,
I understand now.
He
tried to get me on a motorbike, and I staunchly refused. And the third thing that I remember was seeing Super Mario World for the very first time.
Oh, there we go. We're back.
And we smashed.
We're talking about video games again.
And we played the heck out of that game. And even though there were like a whole bunch of things that we were supposed to be doing, that game was just simply amazing. Like, it still is a fantastic game, and playing it now, it's flawless, you know.
But it is not the best game on that list. There are other very good games.
You have gone to a great length of trouble to explain to us that you like Super Mario World, one of the 21 games.
Yep.
Tell us an anecdote for the remaining 20 games.
Okay.
It was 1978, and I had just picked up work as a hotel detective.
That would be a good story. You don't want anecdotes. You just want me to tell you about the good.
Hotel detective?
It's a thing that used to exist. Like, you were, like, private security for a hotel if you lost anything. Anyway, moving on.
All right, so other games, because you haven't said the two best ones.
Okay, how about Super Metroid?
Nope, that's not it. That's not the one I wanted.
The Legend of Zelda.
No.
I mean,
A Link to the Past.
That's a great game.
I mean, yeah, no, it's a good game. Both of those are good games.
Well, B, what is your favorite game on the...
Can I do an anecdote? Because roommate has the mini SNES, and so I got to take a look at the library, and it's got some pretty cute options as well.
Does this story take us back to another country?
Well, yeah, it does, because it's in the U.S.
right.
where I played. Speaking of, they're selling a different version in America. My SNES is the purple one.
Yeah, the ugly one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, what is this? There's four colors on these buttons?
Yeah.
Where is my light purple and my dark purple?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, we had a cool looking console.
Very cool.
It blew my mind when I was like, oh, I have to buy this if I'm going to buy the mini SNES? That's weird.
Mm.
Mm. Anyway, Donkey Kong Country is on that list. Me and my dad used to play that.
Right.
We would, at the time, it was you would switch players. You wouldn't play at the same time.
Yep.
So when one died, the other one continued. Yeah, that is one of my favorite games. Still hate the rail levels. Mm-hmm. Still very bad at it.
Yep.
But still an amazing game. Yeah.
Mm.
And guys, Yoshi's Island is on that list.
Yeah, that's a good game.
I think we can all agree that's a fantastic game.
It is a very good, cute game. There's crying. There's from a baby. There's different colored Marios. There's flowers. It's cute and upsetting at the same time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's a very good game. Okay, that's it. That's all. Oh, then the music was fantastic.
Yeah.
Another game that the music was fantastic in was The Secret of Mana.
I never played
it. Did you ever play that?
No, I never played it.
It's an RPG that kind of was a bit overlooked in its day.
Well, I mean, it got kind of overshadowed, but I think like it came out to some pretty critical acclaim. It's just that not many people were playing it because there were like Final Fantasies to get to. But it's kind of an abandoned... it is a Square Enix, right?
Yes.
It's a Square Enix title that a lot of people, you know, have fond memories of and not enough people actually played.
Yeah, it's a role-playing game with an action real-time combat system. And the original game was had support for three players, so you could undertake the entire adventure with two buddies. In this case, you can only play with one friend because the system comes with two controllers with no support for an extra one. But yeah, the music in that is just phenomenal. I've been listening to it as I've been playing it.
Sing us one of the songs, Ray.
That's nothing. I got nothing.
That was beautiful. Isn't there a Final Fantasy game?
There is Final Fantasy 3 or 6, as it's known internationally. Mm-hmm. My favorite one, actually. Mm. Of the Final Fantasy games, I think number 6 is the best.
So wait a minute.
Oh, sorry, number 3, the one that's on here. Yeah,
3, which is also 6.
There was a deal with, because there were 6 in Japan, and then it was the only the third one to be released in the US, so they just called it number 3.
So wait, Final Fantasy 7.
Yes.
Is that actually Final Fantasy 7 in the US and in Japan?
Yes.
So that came out after this.
Yes.
Okay.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah. I just wanted to clear it up because I was confused slightly.
Yeah. Okay. Yes. It's a mess.
Yes.
But yeah, Legend of Zelda Link to the Past sort of completes the role-playing game suite. And there's 100-something hours there, right there, for you to play. They're all terrific games. The only thing is that there are a couple of notable omissions. Chrono Trigger, best role-playing game for the system, in my opinion, isn't there.
I mean, it has been re-released, you know, multiple times on multiple formats. It's been on the PlayStation, it's been on the DS, it's been on, you know, 6 other things. So
yeah.
While it's kind of a shame, it's not something that's completely inaccessible. It's actually, you know, on modern formats. So I don't feel the smart from that one too much, all things considered.
Mm.
Yeah.
A couple of my favorite other Super Nintendo games didn't make the cut. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles for Turtles in Time.
Good game.
I can't believe you just mentioned that. I was playing this on the weekend.
Were you?
Yes. It is also really good. And if it's not on that, then that is incredibly disappointing because it is such a great two-player game.
Candy just fell out of some sort of like time wormhole. She has been trapped in 1994 for a month.
Also on one of these devices.
Right.
But it is incredible. Yeah. So that's such a bummer. Man,
it is. I think it has something to do with the complex licensing issues surrounding the Turtles. I mean, there
are... But isn't it on the Microsoft 3... I remember... Like, playing it on the 360.
Yeah.
Like, it came out, right?
And so that's kind of why there is a massive licensing issue with it. Yeah. Also, the one on the 360 was like... because it was Konami that had the license for those games at the time, and they wouldn't have the license to the Ninja Turtles now, and just a headache. A headache.
Yeah.
Don't unravel that
but
one.
But it's just like, if you want, you can fire up your 360 and play it. Or maybe it's on the Xbox One.
Tell us,
Candy. No, I'm just kidding.
Tell us about the actual mini Super NES, then. What's it like to run this thing?
Well, you got a pretty standard menu with a scrolling tile screen of all your games with the pretty box art that goes along with it.
Yep.
And you sort of pick and choose. And there are 4 save slots for each of the games.
That's very cool. So they've taken that save point system from, you know, a lot of emulators use that for games that traditionally didn't have that, where they can just like, here is the exact point that you have stopped
exactly
playing.
So you can save at any point. Some of the games like Super Metroid have an inbuilt save system, but this is much better because those games are really, really hard, really difficult and frustrating. Yeah. And in addition to the save system, there's a rewind function. Mm. So you can go back and sort of replay the last roughly minute that you've just that you've just performed and sort of pause it at any point and just take over.
Listeners, I watched Ray use that liberally last night on Super Mario World because he is terrible. Oh my God. Like, he just kept getting owned by these lava lizards. It was embarrassing.
Embarrassing, really.
They telegraph their attacks. They're very obvious.
Yeah, yeah. Look, I was doing like a demonstration, a technical demonstration, showing you the thing, and I wasn't really concentrating.
He was showing me what not to do. I understand.
Yeah. So that is accessed by the reset button. So there's a functioning power button on the unit, and there's a functioning reset button. That's your only way to go back to the menu. So, the only unfortunate thing is that you have to have the console really close by, because you're always, if you're like me, and really bad at Super Mario World,
or showing it off to friends,
and you're going to be using the rewind function 3 times a minute.
Yep.
Then you want that machine right in front of you. It's a shame that there's nothing on the controller to facilitate that. But these controllers are exact replicas of the original Super Nintendo controllers, and they're a joy to use as well.
Right.
Just for nostalgia purposes. But that rewind function actually saves a lot of these games, because there's a lot of frustration that comes with those old school 90s games.
Yep.
Whether you're bad like me, apparently, or whether you're a whiz, it's really painful to replay some of these harder sections. So it really is a godsend.
Mm-hmm. There's some cute like visual things, visual options. So since it isn't made for like widescreen format or whatever, 16:9 now, it was made, 4:3?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you can choose what type of frame goes around it. So it is quite a smaller picture, but you can choose like some pretty like little sparkles or, you know, whatever. And they kind of move really nicely. I don't think they're too distracting.
I kept getting distracted.
You did?
Yeah, I just like the black bars. You just called me boring.
It was too shiny for you. Yeah. Okay. And then there was, you can get like a CRTV like lines as well.
Yeah,
if you wanted to. The scan lines, yeah. Or you can have it like pixel perfect but those are like really cute options that you could have too.
Yeah, there is a bit of customization there depending on your taste. My favorite one is the scan lines, sort of replicates that old school CRT feel.
Yeah, I get that.
What I really love is there's an attract mode. If you leave the Super NES on the menu screen for too long, Mario runs out and will like headbutt a game of his choice and then dive into one of your save states, and he will show the last 40 seconds of play. So if you are, for example, Ray, and just playing through, trying out all of the games and hitting a point where you get frustrated, you will just see just a series of failures and dissatisfaction play out in front of you.
Mario just dying and dying and dying.
Just seeing someone just like, I hate being on this elevator in Metroid. Yeah. I'm going to play something else.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you having fun there, Lee?
God, yes.
I think he is. Can you not tell by all the grinning?
Yeah.
Yeah, so apparently I'm not that good at video games, but I'm still enjoying it nonetheless.
That's so glad that's you're fantastic. Still hosting this show.
That's even better.
So, yeah, the classic SNES, or this classic Super Nintendo Mini, I don't know, whatever, however you want to call it. It's great. Like, if you can get one, get one. I don't know what the scarcity is at the moment. Mm. I know overseas it's sort of a hot item.
Yep.
And it's hard to get. But, I don't know. It's really good value. And it's taken me back to my childhood. Really fun.
Do you think that this is just a nostalgia piece, or is it something that, like, someone could get to, you know, for someone who was only, you know, has a history with contemporary games, would they be able to enjoy this without having to put on their like retro enthusiast? Would they just be able to like play a bunch of cool games? Or
I mean, have you heard the games we just talked about? Like
some of the games hold up really well in modern standards. Super Metroid in particular plays exactly like a fantastic indie platformer would today, you know.
Right.
It's got those retro inspired visuals, it's got fantastic level design, and
those aren't retro inspired visuals. Those are visuals.
I'm talking
those
about
are
the hypothetical
OG actual visuals.
I think that question will be better for when the Atari replica comes out, because I don't feel that people will get as much enjoyment if it doesn't stir up some kind of there moment are, in time for them.
Yeah, like there this are is sending couple. Ray back to his time riding the on the motorbike.
Yeah.
The countryman.
There whatever. Are just a couple of memories that have been tarnished by playing this, though.
Oh, no.
The original Mario Kart, Super Mario Kart.
That's in there.
It's in there. And F-Zero's in there, but they're both pretty bad.
What?
Mario Kart, the original one, it's like got this weird Mode 7 scrolling thing.
Yeah.
And I was playing it, and I started to feel really dizzy and nauseous.
I've got to try that then.
It doesn't sit well with me.
It's my favorite Super Mario Kart.
I mean, this seems like it's just reflecting badly on you again and less on Mario Kart.
I don't know. No. I'd like to hear from other people, but it's sort of like what they've got is they've got like one image and the image of the track kind of scales around and flops around depending on which way you're going.
Yeah, okay. That's how they did it.
That's how they did it, and it made me feel dizzy and weird.
That's
Do you
no
know
good.
What, though? Yeah. This is a really interesting point, because I feel like getting these replica devices, as much as I also want them, is like the same as when you meet a celebrity that you've idolized your whole life, because you have them up on a pedestal, right, and then you meet them, and they turn out to be a bit of a dick, and that just ruins that image that you've had of them. And it's the same with this. Like, I remember these games, but probably in a very different way to what they were actually like. Mm. And I talk about these games that I played when I was, you know, not even a teenager yet on, like, PC or whatever console. And I loved them, and I loved them. And now that there's this chance to go back and play them all again, because in the last, like, 20 years, we've had such incredible advancements in all of our other graphics and things. Some of them are still a bit fun and the music's great, but then a lot of them I really struggle. Like, I've gone back to play the original Wolfenstein recently, and I was like the first to rave about that game over and over, and I loved it, and I love collecting
keys, and I love
the
sliding
doors.
It's true, Candy
was
actually the first person to get enthusiastic about Wolfenstein.
But the original, only the original, and now I've played it, and it is so pixelated, I don't know how, as a child, I even understood that I was shooting soldiers. Like, it is just...
I think there's a difference between, like, the 2D graphics versus the 3D graphics, because the 2D graphics haven't really changed. Mm. Like, it looks a bit different, but, like, 3D graphics have gone from, literal boxes to, like, you know, Uncanny Valley right now. So, I don't know. There's definitely something different about the 2D graphics compared to that. So, I don't know if it's a fair assessment for, like, that, like, visually, I guess.
Yeah. And speaking of 3D graphics, one of the very first games to utilize polygons was Star Fox, or Starwing as it was known here in Australia and Europe. And that's a game where you were like a little space strip and you're cruising around shooting stuff. And that game just looks like vomit these days. It looks
shots fired.
It looks terrible. And it's like, I couldn't play it. You have to play through the first level to unlock Star Fox 2, which is an unreleased game that's new on this system. And I wanted to get through the first stage so I could try this Star Fox 2, but I couldn't bring myself to finish the first stage of Star Fox because it's so bad.
I can confirm that Ray cannot play Star Fox. He was really, really bad at it. I saw him crash into the ground.
I think it's just a bad game overall. We've been talking about the Super Nintendo Classic Mini, a tiny replica of the Super Nintendo with 21 built-in games. I'm really having a good time with it. It's brought a lot of joy to me so far.
Me too. I don't even own it.
All right.
Let's watch Ray play some more.
Oh, no, please, no.
You're listening to Zed Games on 4ZZZ, 102.1 FM, and I am Razor, the host, along with some other hosts. Candy.
Really?
Yeah, I'm the main dude here.
Sure.
Candy's my sidekick.
Oh, and sweet.
A couple of hangers-on here, including me and B.
I've been promoted.
I mean,
it's only taken 6.5 years.
I've only been here for a year.
That's why
I'm
psychic.
Has it been a year?
It's been a year. Yeah. Anyway.
Congrats to me.
Yeah, well done.
Thank you. I survived somehow.
Yeah.
You guys survived me, I guess, is the better way to say that.
Yeah, I would agree with you. But B, you've been playing Cuphead.
Yes.
Yeah, tell me about that game, because I screwed up the introduction before.
It is not a 1950s game. We'll start off with that. It is a game inspired by early animation, so 1920s, 1930s sort of stuff, when they didn't know, like, they were just trying to figure out how things moved and how to make it look cool and stuff. So this is done by Studio MDHR Entertainment, and you follow this little kid. I don't know how to describe him.
He's a cup.
Cup.
His head is a cup.
A literal cup head, and then like a little body, and the animation is that bouncing animation of the 30s, where they can't stay still. It's sort of like this breathing, and it's letting you know that something's moving.
Things are like swaying from side to side in unison.
Yeah.
And the eyes are real weird. That's kind of creepy, right? Like those cartoons are weird and
like
scary.
There's like this there's an animation called like Go You Sinners or something like that, which is basically what this is kind of inspired by, and it's like this kid going through a graveyard and like things coming after him, and this is like the 30s, you know, and it's just like this weird just like these weird eyes, these weird graphics.
This is weird in a modern day video game, you should actually Google like the original actual costumes that Mickey and Minnie had at Disneyland.
Oh yeah, that's something different.
Because they still had them designed from the original like 1928 cartoons,
that was
but
creepy.
Then they were brought to actual life,
and they're
in
not
suit
very
characters.
Good at making them.
So that's scarier.
Yeah,
right. I think.
Okay, so why would we want to revisit that earlier crude and spooky era of animation?
Because it looks cool. The spookiness, the bouncing, things that are supposed to be cute. Like one of the enemies is like this little flower that's smiling, kind of a bit Undertale-esque.
Yep.
And then it pulls its face down and suddenly has thorns and is just bouncing up and down and trying to kill you. Mm. But the basic premise of the story, you decided to go to a casino run by the devil despite the Elder Kettle's wishes.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I'm with you. Keep going.
It is you, Cuphead, and your friend Mughead. If you are going to play two players, you're going to be Mughead as the second player. Uh-huh. And you go to the casino. You're doing very well. You're just rolling the dice. And this is all done sort of with a storybook element to it. Mm-hmm. So a little bit of bouncing, but it's mostly, you know, you're just reading it really quickly. And the devil himself is like, look, I will give you all the money I have in my casino if you can win this last round of dice. Of course you don't win, and then you're begging for your life, and he goes, okay, go get these bounties for me, and then I'll save your soul. So that's basically what you do during the game. You're going to go through these little islands. There are these escape souls that have bounties on them, and you're going to go and defeat them and get their souls back and bring it to the devil.
So it's like a side-scrolling platformer?
Yes and no. So it's basically kind of divvied up into about three different types of levels. So one, there's an overview. There's an overworld map.
Yep.
So everything's bouncing. It's a really nice watercolor sort of feel. Mm-hmm. And you can go from place to place. So it's not linear in the fact that if you don't pass this stage, you're not going to get to the next one.
Right.
There are locked off sections, but you usually have two or three things you can do before, like, you have to be like, oh, okay, I do have to defeat this before the next section opens. Mm. But it's basically, yep, the side-scrolling ones, those are called the running guns, and that's where you get your coins from.
Right.
They usually have about 5 coins in them that you can collect, and I was having a problem with it because I kept trying to kill everything.
Right.
This game is merciless. There is no, if you kill 10 things like Mario, you'll get a heart, or you collect 100 coins and you'll get an extra life. You have 3 lives. You can use upgrades to like kind of do that for a temporary like 4 or 5 lives. But 3 lives or 3 hits, and then once that's it, there's no little hearts floating around the stage to get back to. Nothing.
So there's no way to replenish these hearts.
No, not during the stage. You have to. Oh my god! I'm sorry. I'm having a flashback to the stage that I had going inside of a tree.
Ah.
I think I literally, I must have done it at least like 20 or 30 times, and there was a helpful pool that you look into at one point, and it tells you how many times you've died.
How many times?
140.
Oh, wow. All right.
Yeah.
Look, it's hard inside a tree.
This game is merciless. Like, there's no save points. There's no way to be like, okay, you are halfway through this stage, so you can just come back here. No.
You are on a mission for the devil.
Yeah.
But still,
and
that sucks.
So no save points. So if you expend all your hearts, where do you go?
Back? You just go back to the overworld and or like
start
it comes
again.
It's there's this amazing thing where it's because it is the devil, I guess, it shows you your progress through the level, so it'll show you, oh, you were halfway there. Oh, you were so close to the end, but you just fell off or you just got hit. And then you have to do everything all over again. You have to go through the pill bugs again. You have to go up the thing and go up the spiky balls. Then you have to bounce on the stupid little fireflies again to get to that moth at the end and hope he doesn't kill all of the platforms you're on.
How do you deal with that moth? I'm writing this down.
Oh, you just are not... Okay, so... I feel like if you were watching me play, it would be the same thing as watching Ray play Mario. It's just these dumb little mistakes you're making, and like you just keep doing it over and over again.
So besides the fact that the platforming seems impossibly difficult, there are boss fights as well.
Right.
And those were kind of... When they first announced this game, those were like the emphasis, and they sort of since added the additional... levels in between, but originally the plan was just like a series of boss fights.
So that's what it is. It's those contracts. So it's the running gun where you get the coins, and then you can use the coins for upgrades that you can then switch out.
So this is like different weapons and stuff?
Right, different types of weapons. So like there's the pea shooter, which is the one you usually get, and then there's the like a magnet one that you just shoot. You don't need to aim, and it kind of goes around to different targets without you having to aim, but does less damage.
Right.
So a lot of them are like, you get this, you can get 4 lives, but your attacks are a bit weaker.
Right.
So there's a bit of trade-off.
Tell us about the bosses, B.
So bosses, right. I don't know, it's just like, there's no side-scrolling with it. You're just there in the battle. I've battled frogs that were fighters and in a casino. And one
like
point,
boxing frogs, right?
Boxing frogs.
Yeah.
And at one point, one jumped into the other's mouth, and then they became a big casino, like slot machine. I don't know. there was this blimp. Woman, Hilda Blimp.
You're saying
like
this stuff like it's crazy, but I can purely because of the art style, I can immediately picture this. Like, I know what the little frog probably looks like, the slot machines, you know, like it's just, it's
so they're like,
incredible.
And they're, they're giant and incredibly well animated, right?
Yeah, yeah, they're beautiful and they're like way bigger than you usually. And I don't know how to describe it because it's just like it's the 1930s. It's that animation, those eyes, the bouncing, and just like the weird, sinister but cute look to it.
Yeah,
I guess. Mm.
But then that then tied in with this nefarious, like hardcore platforming and boss fighting kind of gameplay.
It's weird because there's so many bosses. There's like 5 or 6 bosses per, I think, island, which there's about 3 of them. I got to island 2.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
But they're all varied boss fights. There's platforming in some of it, like i.e. You know, there's not any ground below you, so you have to make sure you're jumping on the platforms, else you're gonna die, kind of thing.
Yeah.
There's the airplane ones, so you don't have to worry about like platforming or anything, but you do like fly up and down the screen hitting the targets, like the blimp one.
Yeah.
And right. She transforms into different celestial or like different signs.
Right, that's cool.
So there's like a little bull, that a cloud bull that she turns into, and like the Gemini twins as well, and they all have different things that they do too.
My favorite is the one that we've seen a lot of in trailers and stuff, is the like giant telekinetic carrot.
That's the first one you do, and that was the easiest fight. I may have died like 3 times, but don't worry about it. That one was like, it's got like the most unique art style, I think, of all of them still.
Yeah. And he like transforms into different things. And like,
so he goes from, oh crud, I just did it. It was something in onion and then the carrot. The carrot was the last one.
Right.
But yeah, the thing is, I'm actually really surprised at how unique all of the bosses are. Like, I'm getting frustrated dying, but they're all different strategies.
Yep.
Like, kind of like Mega Man, I guess.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then because you need the upgrades, it feels like you could change your character to your play style. Mm. So, like, yeah, you can just collect coins and go, okay, maybe it's this thing that I need, you know, and it could hopefully help you out. Mm. Yeah.
Cool.
Okay.
Play it. It's a Microsoft exclusive.
Just really quickly, do you think that the difficulty is going to be too frustrating for most people?
Yes, it's very much like if you played Super Mario, I guess, if you played the old school ones where you're used to not really having a save point and used to like dying all the time, you'll be fine. But if you are hoping for a save, if you're hoping for anything to help you, like it's just you and unlocking upgrades, and maybe if you have a second player, it'll probably be easier because they can like save your soul before it escapes away, kind of thing. So it might be easier that way, but it's so frustrating but beautiful.
I have one final question. In true like late 20s early 30s animation, does the boxing frog have little red boxer shorts and or a brown bowler's cap or a cigar?
No, it's got, they both have, it's two of them that you're fighting. They've got the gloves.
Yep.
They've got the shorts.
Yep. Tell me there's a hat or a cigar.
No, there's no hat or cigar for them.
There has to be.
Someone else must have a hat or a cigar.
There's somebody else, but
one of them would. And they're weird oblong eyes.
Yeah.
Shiny noses. Love it. It's weird.
Thank you very much, B. We've been talking about Cuphead for the Xbox One. And that's going to bring us to the end of this week's episode of Zed Games. Thanks so much for your company. We'll catch you guys next week.
Bye.